Your reasons for listening to the show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people. Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hopefully you guys enjoyed your day so far. A couple of ways you can get a hold of me. You can email me, tuttle@gmail.com. Want to get some feedback from you guys? Want some interaction? You can email me, tuttle@gmail.com. That's Tuttle with two Ds. tuttle@gmail.com, or you can leave me a voicemail, 407-270-3044. Once again, that is 407-270-3044. You can also leave me a text if you don't want to hear your voice on the radio. I know everybody hates the sound of their own voice. I know that I do. I hate my voice. No reason I should be on the radio. Maybe that's why I'm not on the radio. If you get a chance, go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Tuttle. Make sure to subscribe and hit that bell button. Plenty of great new content there. You know, a lot of people know how to use YouTube. They don't understand podcasts. So you can let people know. Hell, even when my dad was alive, he knew YouTube. My mom knows YouTube. Still haven't been able to get her to figure out podcasting yet. I told her it's just way much easier, Mom. Nope. So tell your parents, your neighbors, whatever it may be. First story I want to get into, Amy Sinha, my good friend over in Wales in the United Kingdom, voiced over one of these stories. It was too good of a story because I like playing the audio stories, and The Smoking Gun, they never give links to videos, and I couldn't find one. I'm usually really, really good at that. So I had Amy Sinha from the United Kingdom voice it for me.
A Florida man denied ownership of baggies containing cocaine and methamphetamine. Obviously, I don't do drugs.
I guess they don't have methamphetamines in the United Kingdom. I find that hard to believe. Because, I mean, a lot of the party drugs came from Europe, found their way here to America. And hell, methamphetamines are pretty easy to make if you know what you're doing. If you don't know what you're doing, I've met people here in Oak Hill that you'll see them. They'll have all the scars on their body, burn scars. You think they got burned up by a fire? No, no. They love to make that shake and bake meth here in Volusia County, especially Oak Hill. If you don't know what that is, they mix everything up. They put it like in a 2-liter jug and they shake it. And they want that jug to get really, really as tight as it can. And it's like a balancing act. Because if you leave that jug to get too tight, because you got to burp it. You got to take the cap off the top of the 2-liter. And if you don't do it soon enough, that stuff will explode on you and it will burn your skin like acid.
That cops found wrapped around his penis during a search early Saturday morning, according to arrest affidavit.
See, a lot of criminals, especially the white trash ones, they think that if they put it on their penis or their scrotum, that the male cops, that's the last place because they don't want to be feeling up a meth head's junk. But no, they'll eventually get to it. Trust me, they will. Because once they get you to the jail, they get you to 33rd. Because, you know, the one time that I did get arrested driving on a suspended license, they bring you in, you get your picture taken, and then they put you in like a little holding cell before they bring you into the gin pop area. Before the nurses check you out. And I saw so many people having to use the bathroom as soon as they were put in that holding cell. And I saw so many people pull drugs out of their crotch, crack of their ass, and flush it down the toilet just before they ended up getting strip searched.
Investigators say Patrick Florence, 34, was a passenger in a vehicle stopped around 4 a.m. for traveling without headlights or taillights on a clear water roadway.
Clearwater checking in. I'm surprised. I thought they were going to go Pasco County. Definitely. See, I've talked about this a lot. I think Pasco and Volusia County are kind of like sister counties. One's on the Gulf of Mexico side. The other one's on the Atlantic, where I'm at in Volusia County. And there's a lot of eerily similarities when it comes to Pasco and Volusia County.
The driver, Darius Owens, 27, was subsequently arrested on DUI and marijuana possession charges.
I mean, that's no biggie, depending on how much marijuana he had. Now, the biggie is the DUI. The marijuana, if it's not a big amount, I forget what it is. Think a couple of ounces or a gram. Anything more than that, I think they're going to maybe take you into jail. But for marijuana, that's not a big deal. The cops should just take it, write him a ticket, and let him go. But the DUI is way worse. I just want to understand where the methamphetamines came in.
A search of the vehicle turned up a handgun under Florence's seat.
See, I swear to God, I don't understand why these criminals aren't smart enough. Because once you're carrying drugs and then they find a gun, oh yeah, yeah, you're going away. There's no way that they're going to let you go. They're not going to confiscate your weed and write you a ticket, especially if you had a gun. And I almost guarantee you one of these two had a felony. And that's double jeopardy right there.
Leading to his arrest on a pair of felony weapons charges, Florence denied ownership of the .38 Special, reported cops who noted that the ex-con's rap sheet includes dozens of felony convictions, which barred him from possessing firearms and ammunition.
Bingo! And the thing is that you can't even say that it's your buddy's gun, because as a felon, you're not even supposed to be anywhere near a firearm. But that's the thing about it. You can make the laws in the world that you want to. That's why I've never understood why the left wants to take your guns away. It would never happen. I mean, that's a statement that the right makes all the time. Both sides are a bunch of idiots. Just let them go. But the left can make all the laws and rules that they want, and it's not going to stop them. You want to know why? Because criminals, felons, don't obey the laws. So make all the laws you want to, they're still going to get a gun and they're still going to commit crimes.
During a search of Florence, a deputy discovered two plastic baggies wrapped around his penis. One baggie.
What was that about? Is that how the Brits say baggie? Baggie? Is that why you say it? Because, you know, the whole stereotype. Is it because they say baggie? Because of the stereotype of teeth? In the United Kingdom? I don't know. I'm going to have to ask her about that. Why did the Brit say, baggy?
Contained cocaine powder and cocaine base, while the other held a crystal substance. Police identified as methamphetamine.
You know, I always thought that she lived a sheltered life. I'm going to have to talk to her about this. Has she never heard of methamphetamines? They got to have methamphetamines in the United Kingdom. I know I got a lot of United Kingdom listeners and supporters of the show. Email me, tuttle@gmail.com. Tuttle with two Ds, tuddle@gmail.com. Do you guys have methamphetamine? I mean, I'm sure you guys have stimulants there. I know that ecstasy came from Europe. That was a party drug. I know that for a fact, but we have ecstasy here in the United States. That's why I find it hard to believe that he don't have meth in the UK.
Questioned about the narcotics, Florence stated the package wrapped around his penis was not his, reported Deputy Levi Blake.
I mean, listen, do criminals just go by the shaggy playbook? It wasn't me. Who put the drugs on your penis? It wasn't me. Those drugs on my penis are not mine. I don't know. I was with a whore. She kind of looked like she was in the methamphetamines because you could tell she'd been picking her skin because she had bugs crawling under it, or felt like she had bugs crawling under it. And while I was having sex with her, I don't know, I think her vagina planted those drugs on my penis.
It appears Florence, who has multiple cocaine convictions, did not identify the owner of the drugs wrapped around his penis or whether that individual consented to their drugs being stored in such a fashion. Florence was charged with four felonies: possession of cocaine, meth, ammunition, and a firearm, and booked into the Pinellas County Jail.
She said Pinellas. It's Pinellas County. But I could understand. I've heard people, Kissimmee, they'll say Kissimmee. kissing me. Man, this, I'm sorry. I'm just laughing at some of the Florida words that she's having to read today.
In lieu of $24,000 bond, this is Amy Sinha reporting for the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
Before I get into my next news story, I just want to say that I support law enforcement nationwide. I do, because it's a job that not a lot of people want, and they put their lives on the line. And I'm just saying that because I don't want people that listen to the Tuttle Daily Podcast to think that I'm anti-cops. I support defund the police. No. I can protect myself, but there's some things I need cops for. There's bad apples in every single group, and law enforcement in our nation is not exempt. There's bad apples in there. I was also a fan of Spike Lee's earlier work, and you're probably like, ooh, how are you connecting Spike Lee with law enforcement? I was a big fan of his earlier stuff. I think the latest movie of his that he did, and I know it's not recent, but The 25th Hour. I love Spike Lee's The 25th Hour. Do the Right Thing, great movie. And then he just started getting a little too preachy, and I just didn't like it because his earlier movies were absolutely brilliant. And I never got to see the movie Black Klansman. But I heard a lot of good things about it and probably should check it out. But this next story that I'm about to play for you is kind of like Spike Lee's Black Klansman. I don't know how close it is, but what I'm trying to say is that if it's not close to what Spike Lee did, this next news story, I want to see this movie.
Army veteran, father of four, and FBI informant.
My former name is Joseph Moore.
Joseph Moore sounds like a good Christian white power name, doesn't it?
He told the Associated Press he was an undercover informant from 2007 to 2017, posing as a member of the Ku Klux Klan in North Florida.
So, when I'm with these guys, I'm in that character.
Now, this guy did not work for the FBI. He was an informant. And usually informants are people that have gotten busted for other stuff. Was this character a little too easy to play for you? I'm just asking. Because, he said that he was playing a character, and I don't know how easy it is to play a racist that's into white power, the Aryan Nation. It's just something that you just can't slip into. Or maybe it is easy. Who knows?
I realize that at any moment, I could hear a bang.
He risked his life wearing a wire and sometimes capturing video.
I'm sorry. It is 2022 now. Can we stop calling the recording devices wires? Because we've all seen those movies. We've seen those movies where they make you open up the shirt and you got a microphone with a wire going down it into their pants and stuff. You know what? Screw that. If I was an informant, and they told me I was going to go to jail if I didn't wear a wire, yeah, I would say, send me to jail. Because if you're new to the crowd, that's why I think this guy, it was easy for him to play the character. Because I just don't think you could come right in and be an informant in the Ku Klux Klan if they didn't know you. Because you would be, they would check you. They would check you without a doubt. Because the next couple of details you're going to get only proves because they know to look for a wire.
To help federal agents find white supremacists in Florida law enforcement.
From where I sat with the intelligence laid out, I can tell you that none of these agencies have any control over any of it.
If this is true, I'm sorry. If this is true, it is pretty scary. Think about that. The people that took the oath to protect and serve us, and I'm not saying all of them, but how does that happen? Like, how does that happen where a white supremacist can get on a police force? It just boggles my mind that something like that could happen. And they're also in the Ku Klux Klan. The Klan is embedded in some law enforcement officers. That's pretty scary.
It is more prevalent. And
Jesus, buddy. Come on. Like, seriously. I mean, are you still in the racist character? Or did you do some ketamine before you sat down with this reporter to do this interview? Because, Jesus Christ, Pa's crazy.
Consequential than any of them are willing to admit.
In 2014, his attention turned to a murder plot. Three Klansmen who had worked as prison guards wanted a black inmate dead, and they wanted Moore's help.
Wait, hold on. Is corrections officers the same as law enforcement? Because I would almost guess and be willing to bet that the vetting system for correction officers are not as great or as stringent as law enforcement. When I hear law enforcement, I'm thinking about the people that are out on the streets, patrolling, pulling people over, making sure people are safe. I really don't care. Like, seriously, if I know, like, it's a bunch of criminals. It's a bunch of criminals. These guys have already committed crimes in prison or jail. I don't think they vetted as much. Matter of fact, I want the meanest son of a bitches working on our prison system to keep these cretins under control.
The AP reports by that point, Moore had risen to the rank of Grand Nighthawk.
Wait, hold up. Look, I've never known any in the Klan, but I grew up in the South. I've heard some of the rankings. I've heard of the Grand Wizard. I think there's a dragon title in there somewhere, but I've never heard of the Grand Nighthawk. What the hell is Grand Nighthawk? Is that like a grunt infantry? Racist infantry? Might have to look that up.
The FBI created a fake photo of the inmate's death, and Moore recorded one of the Klansmen's reaction.
I want to make sure this is that y'all are happy with this, and that this is what y'all wanted.
I'm sorry. I know that some of the Klans members are probably dumb, but they're also, they have street smarts. And this guy was a lousy actor. Because I definitely would have known something was up if the guy was like, all right, now, I just want to make sure that this is exactly what you wanted, and I'm going to show you this picture, and I want you to tell me if you liked it or not. Are you satisfied with the job that I did for you? Yeah, I would be like, I would just shake my head. I'd be like, yeah, okay. This guy is a horrible actor.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. This is another thing. I'm not defending them, but this guy is horrible informant. I don't think a redneck sounding one word, or a grunt. That was almost not even a yeah. That was a grunt. And I'm telling you right now, any good lawyer, hell, a public defender would be able to get that tossed right out because he'd be like, yeah, what was he agreeing to? That was a grunt. Is a grunt a confirmation that I'm satisfied that you killed the guy that I asked you to? No, it's not.
Okay.
The three former prison guards were convicted of first-degree murder. Moore's identity was exposed during the trial. He says he and his family live in a constant state of danger.
I really do think that this guy is just trying to throw a story out there. Because you could tell, like, I mean, this sounds like he's getting set up to pitch a movie deal to go out to L.A. and give a real life account. No, hell no. This guy's really in fear of his life. That's why I never understood why Henry Hill, you know, Goodfellas was based on Henry Hill. Henry Hill used to be on Stern all the time. And I never got why he wanted to go out and make it known and tell all these stories. I'm surprised that nobody was waiting outside of the K-Rock studio in New York a long time ago just to whack him. So this guy must not be that afraid if he's doing this interview and actually talking about it. Because, trust me, a lot of these Klan members might be really, really dumb, but somebody by chance could recognize your voice. They didn't even try to disguise your voice during this interview. So this guy really is not scared. Or he's making the whole goddamn thing up.
With Klan-connected people even showing up at their house in recent months.
We have local law enforcement fully aware of the situation. They've been here multiple times to ensure that we're safe.
Moore's revelations have cost him a lot. And he says there's more work to be done when it comes to weeding out violent extremists in our institutions.
So I know that I was on track to uncover more activity in law enforcement. But the immediate threat to the public with the murder plot was a priority, and I was only one person. There was only so much I could do.
I'm sorry. Some of this guy's story is not adding up at all. Like, has the FBI come out and kind of confirmed that everything this guy is saying is real? Because now he's like, oh, man, if these two corrections officers... By the way, the media, the news media basically sold a bag of goods that was false. I mean, I thought it was running rampant through law enforcement, and I'm sure that it is. I'm sure that there are some racist cops. I mean, it's just the law of averages. But, I mean, it was just two corrections officers. They wanted to kill somebody. You stopped them. I don't know. This guy, like I said, is an informant. He obviously got busted at one point in his life doing bad things. He probably was in the Klan at one point. And this guy is now ratting out all of his other racist cousins and inbred hillbillies.
We haven't been able to get in touch with Moore today, but he told the AP he felt...
Is this reporter... like squeezing one off in the bathroom stall during her clothes there? Because holy echo, what the hell is going on there? I swear to God, if I hear a toilet flush or a log drop in water, yeah, she's definitely in a stall.
Going public with his story is the best way to protect himself and his family. From Jacksonville and Maxwell, Channel 4, the local station.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Really excited about my next interview. Did a lot of research. I know I'm going to make myself look like a complete idiot when I introduce him because I'm a dumb American and Americans don't know how to pronounce names that aren't American. I've never met a Ladislaus. How are you today, Ladislaus?
Good, Patrick. How are you?
Good, man. Now, before we get into the interview, tell my audience a little bit about yourself, where you're from, what you do, what are some of your passions, and how people can check out all the content that you're putting out. I followed you on all your social media and stuff, so you got a lot of great content on there.
Thank you. So essentially did the whole corporate thing. I worked in corporate for a number of years in Switzerland and in Africa. My last role in Africa was running with the milk business for Nestle, the big food company, for a few West African countries. At the age of 30, I left and I became a full-time investor. So essentially, I now travel full-time, mostly in emerging and frontier markets. And I look at investments in all of these countries, whether it be real estate or tiny local stock markets, and also look at immigration opportunities for people who want to move to places that typically have lower taxes and a bit more freedom. So I run a blog called thewanderinginvestor.com. There's a YouTube channel as well. So people are more than welcome to follow me, to subscribe to the free private list. And essentially people get to follow me as I travel around the world, looking at investment and immigration opportunities in emerging and frontier markets.
Did I hear you correctly when you said you left at 13 and were already working and stuff?
At 33-0.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. I was about to say, I was like, whoa, man, this guy was, he's an overachiever there. I thought there for a minute, like 13, man, this kid was a way ahead of the curve getting out of school and everything. So what made you want to get into this? Investing and working for big companies like that? Is that something that your family did or your father? Because a lot of sons like to do sometimes what their father does. How did you get it interested into this?
Yeah, actually, most of my family background is more public sector in France. So not really investors or business people. the whole corporate thing, because I wanted to travel and earn money. And when you come out of university, if you can get some expatriate role and get sent to emerging markets and get paid well for it, it's quite attractive. And it's a very good from a learning point of view. And then when I left, it's more that, you know, I was 30. I had worked for that company for, I don't know, about 7 years. I'd spent most of my 20s in Africa, and I was just ready for the next chapter in my life. So I didn't quit to become a full-time investor per se. I quit, went traveling, and then never really got back to, you know, getting a job again, because as I was traveling, I just saw so many opportunities to make my money work for me.
When you're looking at something to invest in, like, is there some things that you stay away from, even though it looks financially stable and you're going to make money off of it? And like, what I'm trying to say is, like, is there stuff you stay away from just because I don't like that? Or like, what are you looking for when it comes to something you're going to invest in?
Cool. So the first thing is, I always need to be clear in terms of my objective. So is this going to be an investment that will be part of my essentially forever portfolio that I just buy now and I'm going to hold it until retirement? Or is it going to be a midterm investment, or is it just going to be a short-term speculation? So that's really the first criteria. Because it's important to know as well that in a lot of these markets, let's say you buy a house in Montenegro, for example, which, you know, they're beautiful houses, beautiful coastline, can get you a residency permit as well. So let's say you buy a house there. Typically, one of the considerations that North Americans are not aware of is that in a lot of these emerging markets, there's very low liquidity. So it's not like a house in the US where you put it up for sale and chances are within a few weeks you'll be able to sell it. Or sell it yesterday if you're in Florida. In Montenegro, you might actually have to wait a year or two before being able to sell your house. So you really need to be acutely aware of the lack of liquidity in a lot of these markets. So if I'm gunning for an investment and I know that I'm going to need liquidity, then I would be extremely, extremely careful. And same thing with local stock markets. So I bought a bunch of shares on the stock market in Uzbekistan, for example, 2 years ago. So Uzbekistan is the country south of the big brother Kazakhstan, which is blowing up right now. And I would have to get up at weird hours and trade on the local exchange, but there's almost no liquidity for some of the stocks. So I just put an offer and no one would be selling. And then after a few days, then, you know, maybe if the seller would show up and I'd be able to buy a chunk of shares of that particular stock. So those are the things that you really need to be very much aware of.
Do you only invest in like property and stock markets, or do you ever like invest in those crazy like investments you'll see on the Shark Tank or something? Somebody that comes up with the weirdest ideas. Like, yeah, do you ever get into any of that stuff?
I mean, it depends on your definition of weird.
Like the stuff you see on Shark Tank. Like, I mean, if people know you as an investor, I'm sure you got a lot of people like trying to get your ear and try to pitch you an investment. And I'm sure you get a lot of bad ones coming your way.
Yeah, sure. I mean, most investments are bad in life, I'd say. How can I put it? I do take part in private placements as well. Done is I invested in a, or rather, I'm in the process of investing in a chicken and egg distribution in the Gambia in West Africa. So it's a little business. The gentleman over there is creating two stores to sell local chickens and local eggs, because most chicken in West Africa is often imported from the US or from Brazil. So it's frozen chicken that's imported, and there isn't that much local production. So what that store aims to do, that chain of stores, is to encourage local farmers to produce locally and to offer them distribution and then to market the products.
How do you keep up with all, you know, you're, it seems like you got investments all over the world. Like, how do you keep up with like your equity or your partner or whatever you're investing in? How do you keep up with that type of stuff? Because, you know, some people are probably gonna, you know, maybe stab you in the back sometimes. I mean, that's all a part of doing business. How do you keep up with that type of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, the more you invest internationally and the more inefficient you become, you know, there's a price, there's a certain cost to diversification and internationalization. And often it's you lack certain synergies. So I just have all of these spreadsheets and I try to monitor, and I'm, you know, on WhatsApp quite a bit with people all over the world. But yeah, it does take more time than just buying a bunch of Apple shares and having them on my Schwab account for sure.
Yeah, you need to find the biggest, toughest guy that you can near the businesses and stuff that you invest in case, you know, some muscle to be able to go in there if, you know, they're not paying. That's just a joke, by the way. But like,
are you,
I see,
are you looking, all, do you I, want I, that job?
Yeah, I mean, come on, man. I'm very, very intimidating, but I'm just saying. Now, one of the questions I wanted to ask, you know, you travel around and I saw that you were in Colombia. Now, are you afraid of some of these countries, though? Like, have you ever run into trouble or like, you know, an outsider coming in trying to, you know, some people might look at it as, hey, this guy's coming in trying to pillage our businesses and our people. And say, so, have you ever run into any problems, like danger wise, in some of these countries that you've gone to?
I mean, obviously, but that can happen anywhere. That tends to happen quite a lot in Chicago as well. So, you know, you just deal with it. That's it. It's just, I don't know. I try not to think about it too much. I think a bigger danger rather is government overreach in many cases. Most criminals can be, often you can negotiate with them unless they're high on drugs. So I'm not too worried about that.
Colombia cocaine, you know, you probably got a lot of cocaine in Colombia there. So I that was just one. It probably is a stupid question. I mean, it's all about how you carry yourself and stuff. And, you know, you seem like a pretty confident guy, and you just go in there and act like you belong.
I mean, look, my confidence doesn't mean much in front of a gun.
No, of course not. Now, well, all right, this is another question. You seem very, very successful. What's the worst investment that you have been a part of that you're just like, oh man, I'll never do that one again?
Yeah. So I got involved in a real estate deal in a Middle Eastern country, and I bought at the peak, and yeah, it took a 30% loss, and it was pretty illiquid as well. So even trying to get rid of it took quite a while.
Did you get burned during the housing crisis when the bubble burst here in the United States, or did you have any real estate investments here?
No. I came right after, and that's how I made quite a bit of my initial money. I invested in the U.S. in real estate at the bottom.
Now, do you think like something like that could happen again? Because I just see the way people are buying up homes again. It's like it's a seller's market right now. Could you see something like that happen again, or are they doing a better job at not writing bad loans like they did?
Look, things can stay crazier a lot longer than one can say solvent. So what I've learned is I generally don't try to short anything. The world is big enough to find countries that will be growing no matter what happens in the US or doesn't happen in the US. So instead of taking a short position in real estate in the US, I would rather take a long position somewhere else. So could this happen again? I mean, sure, why not? I mean, a lot of people are very overextended. If the powers that be were to raise interest rates quite substantially, which may or may not happen because there's a lot of government debt and the government might have issues dealing with higher interest rates, then a lot of people would have substantial problems. So it's not a market. I'm not active in the US right now in terms of the real estate market. It's a little too crazy for me. Does it mean that it's bad? No. But it would appear that there are some smaller markets, you know, in some places in the Midwest that appear to be a little healthier. But for now, I'm just staying away from it.
All right. So you talked about helping people get their residency and stuff in some of these countries. What are some of the harder ones to become a resident of? Because right now it's kind of hard to get into the United States. I mean, if you do it the right way and you know somebody and stuff. But like, give me an example. Like a lot of people see in the movies, the best way to get residency is to marry a resident there. get a card and become a resident whenever you marry somebody there. But how do you usually go about it?
It depends. So typically Western countries are the hardest. And to be more precise, Western Anglophone countries are the hardest. So the US, Canada, the UK, Ireland, New Zealand, Australia, those are the toughest places typically to obtain residency. Continental, in the European Union, some countries are harder than others. But generally, outside of that, and Asia is quite hard as well. But for most of Eastern Europe, the Balkans, Africa, Latin America, there are usually quite a few ways to get in. Either in many cases, you can just create a company, whether it be an actual company or not. It depends on the local regulations that has like actual economic activity. Sometimes you just create a company, appoint yourself director, and that's just enough to get a visa. Other countries, you just need to buy local real estate. So generally, most countries have a way in. It just depends how much are you willing to pay and to invest to really be able to stay there.
Yeah, Australia is pretty tight. They stick right by the book because they wouldn't even let Djokovic in to try to compete in the Australian Open. They were like, rules are rules. We can't let you in. So I would think New Zealand would be another tough one as well, too.
Very tough. New Zealand is very, very tough.
So where are you at now? Where are you located? Where have you landed with all your jet setting around the world?
Yeah, so I was in Colombia and Panama for approximately 5 weeks. And now I'm in Switzerland for a little bit. And then I'm off to Ukraine and then Turkey.
You a married guy? You got a family?
I do. Yeah, I'm married.
Okay. Well, I was just saying, man, all the traveling and stuff. Does the wife and kids, or if you have kids, come with you? Seems like you're just traveling all over the world right now.
I mean, it's a religious wedding, so it's not a legal wedding.
Okay.
We travel. They join me. Yeah. But mostly on my own.
Well, very cool. Why? I had a pleasure speaking with you. Once again, Ladislas, tell my audience once again how they can check out all of your content.
Sure. So people can follow me and sign up to the private list. It's free on thewanderinginvestor.com. They can follow me on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and then essentially they'll be getting updates on investment and immigration opportunities as I travel around in emerging markets.
Well, I thank you for the time.
There's been a big uptake in Americans wanting to leave the U.S., actually, whether Democrats or Republicans or Libertarians. A lot of people want to leave the U.S. right now. This industry is actually booming. And I see it, my other competitors are doing very well as well.
I may get out. I may have to hit you up and say, hey, man, get me out of this country. It's going down the toilet right now. So I may be contacting you to use your services.
And if you need a job to enforce contracts in the Gambia, hit me up.
I'll definitely do that. I'll become your mercenary. I'll go there and take care of stuff. All right, man. Well, listen, I hope you have a wonderful day, and I hope you stay safe out there traveling all around the world.
Cool. All right. Take care. God bless you.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, man. Bye.
And that's the show for today. Thanks for listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hey, don't be a dickhead. Do us a favor. Like, share, and subscribe to the show. Also, check out the Tuttle category at 315live.com. The Tuttle Daily Podcast is brought to you by Starfire Transport, StitchYouUp.com, and PocketBearClub.com. Special thanks to show producer Vulture and co-host Siroc. Show voiceover service is brought to you by JCVoiceover.com and The Little Cheese Show. Download and subscribe to The Little Cheese Show everywhere podcasts are found. If you want to help support the show, go to paypal.me/TuttleOnTheRadio. You have something you want to say? Tuttle@gmail.com or leave a voicemail at 407-270-3044. To follow all Tuttle's social media, go to Tuttle.net. That's Tuttle with two Ds .net. Thanks again for all your support, and we'll see you tomorrow on the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
I get ignorant in normal situations.
What you mean?
What the fuck you mean?
What are you talking about?
Nigga, what the fuck is you talking about?
Oh, shit.